This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. If you could take a drug that might help you think better or perform more effectively and efficiently in school or at work, would you do it? And if so, do you think that's the same as taking a drug that helps you hit more home runs? That's one of the questions being raised in the debate over brain enhancement drugs. Once prescribed mainly for people with disabilities, brain enhancement drugs are now being used more frequently by students who are about to take a tough test, or by academics and other professionals who may be getting ready for a big presentation. Is it cheating or not? Later, the news business is in trouble, but not for the reason you might think. But first, the debate over brain enhancement drugs. Have you ever taken such drugs to help you academically or professionally? Did it help? Do you think it was the right thing to do? Tell us your story. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from the BBC studios in Cambridge, England, is Barbara Sahakian. She is professor of clinical neuropsychology at Cambridge University. Her commentary on brain enhancement drugs, titled Professor's Little Helper, appeared in the journal Nature. So good to have you with us, Barbara.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Now, what drugs are we talking about? Let's define these drugs and tell me what they were originally used for or intended for, their original use.
Yes, okay, well, there's a range of cognitive enhancing drugs, and probably one of the most familiar ones is methylphenidate or Ritalin. And most people know methylphenidate or Ritalin because it's the most common treatment for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. And of course, this is an interesting disorder because it's a spectrum disorder, and people with ADHD have problems of impulsivity, hyperactivity, and inattention. And the drug works, you know, quite well to treat these. Many people get benefit from it. So that's one drug. And that drug actually works by increasing the chemicals dopamine and noradrenaline in the brain by blocking their reuptake. There's other drugs like atomoxetine, which is another treatment for ADHD. And that works relatively selectively to enhance noradrenaline in the brain. And so that's another one of these cognitive enhancers. And some people know the cholinesterase inhibitors that are used for the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. So there's donepezil, Aricept, drugs such as that. And they affect the chemical acetylcholine in the brain by enhancing that neurotransmitter or chemical in the brain.
So if you do not have any kind of disability or a condition that requires the use of these drugs, how does it affect you? What are the effects of these drugs on a...
Well, we've done studies with methylphenidate Ritalin, and we've actually studied Cambridge undergraduates who are already functioning very well, as you can imagine. But even Cambridge undergraduates show improvements when they take methylphenidate Ritalin on the different tests that we've used, such as tests of what we call working memory. That's the type of thing where you try to remember things for short periods of time because you need that information critically then, and then later you toss it out. It's the sort of thing if you looked up a number in a phone book, you might swing the number around in your head while you remember it, like 217899, 217899. And then when you finish dialing it, you chuck it out. And we showed very good enhancement with methylphenidate, using methylphenidate on these Cambridge undergraduates. Another drug we used was modafinil, which is a newer drug. It's also known as Provigil. And it was licensed in 1997 here for the treatment of excessive daytime sleepiness or narcolepsy. Mm-hmm. And narcolepsy is... you know, I always say, well, if I'm lecturing and you fall asleep, perhaps I haven't given a good lecture. But if I'm lecturing and I fall asleep, that is narcolepsy.
Right, right.
But now people benefit from that. And we've shown that normal, healthy volunteers who come in as subjects for our studies do very well on that and increase their, improves their memory, their planning ability, and so forth.
So people now are using these drugs for what purpose? Give me an example of why somebody might take one of these drugs.
Yes, well, we did a questionnaire to some colleagues who I knew were taking these drugs to ask them why they took them. And one of many of the colleagues say they take them for jet lag to compensate for jet lag. So if they have to give a big lecture and they feel that they've got jet lag, they take the drug. And they say it improves their ability to attend. It improves their working memory, which we just talked about. And it also improves word finding, which you can imagine for a lecture is very important. I have colleagues also in the UK, and they say they took it because they want to just increase their mental energy, and it improves their thinking when they're trying to have a particularly productive day. So other people are just taking it to improve their performance on that day.
You know, I think when we talk about performance-enhancing drugs in sports or in physical activity, we might say that it makes you stronger. Can you say that these drugs make you smarter, really?
Well, they certainly seem to enhance your attention, and they do improve memory function as well. So, I mean, it depends what you mean by smarter. we're not talking, you know, IQ, but
right.
Certainly all these things are very important if you're trying to get a busy job done quickly. It helps to keep your attention focused and to remember what you're trying to in order to complete the task.
So this is where some of the ethical questions might come up, particularly, let's say, if you're a student, and we can move on to the professional area, but let's start here. You're a student and you're about to take, in this country, for instance, you know, the SATs, the college entrance exams, and if some students are starting to take these drugs that might help them perform better and others are not, then those who are taking them might be at an unfair disadvantage.
Well, exactly. So that's one of the ethical questions, because is it actually coercing other people to take the drug because they fear they will be at a disadvantage if they don't? And it has roused a lot of feelings, because some students feel that that's cheating, that they, you know, the other students shouldn't be taking these drugs, and it is putting pressure on them. I don't know if you're aware, but at some college campuses where they've done surveys, there's about 16 to even as high as 20% of college students have used methylphenidate Ritalin for studying purposes and to enhance cognition and to be able to cram for exams and so forth. So it's fairly well widespread in the USA on college campuses.
We are talking about brain enhancement drugs and the debate over those kinds of drugs and some of the ethical issues involved. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. We're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Murray. And Murray is calling from Conley, Arizona, I believe?
Arkansas,
sorry. I need those brain enhancement drugs.
I'm a student here in Conway, a senior graduating this year. And just like your guest just pointed out, I've taken these brain-enhancing drugs. It's really difficult because it seems like a lot of the students that are really excelling are taking them, and it's hard to compete in such a busy climate, a busy academic environment without that, because there's so many people that are overloading themselves and using this to improve their performance.
So, Murray, so you started doing it because you felt other kids were doing it, and in order to keep up, you have to do it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you don't. It's not like I started because like I did it the first time because I was behind and I had too much work to do, and it was an easy way out. And like after that, you just see how many people, especially around final times, and like the whole campus will be stressed out and looking for drugs to keep them awake, to write papers, to study for tests.
Yeah, can you explain what the effect is exactly? How it affects you exactly?
It makes it easier to stay up for long amounts of time and to be focused on a single task, like without getting distracted, which is like really easy to do when you're surrounded by thousands of people.
And now I'm assuming, because you're saying that everybody's trying to get these drugs around exam time, that there's an underground, way of buying them on campus.
It's not really underground. It's pretty open. There's a lot of people that are prescribed Ritalin and Adderall, and it's not hard to find somebody, like a friend even, that just has an extra or two to buy, or just as a gesture of friendship or anything like that.
Now, do you have any concerns about what you're getting done or what you're able to accomplish with these drugs as compared to a friend who might not take them? I mean, do you feel there's anything ethically wrong with that or wrong with you taking the drugs and other kids being at a disadvantage? Do you feel like they are at a disadvantage?
I don't necessarily feel like it puts me at an advantage as the work that I can accomplish is the same quality, but that I'm able to do more work. I'm able to get more done in times when I'm really stressed out. So.
And do you know, is this legal? You said you get it from kids that you know who have these...
No, it's illegal.
It is illegal. So you're taking part in illegal drugs.
I mean, I'm aware of that. I've stopped taking it. I don't think that it gives me the jitters and it makes me feel bad afterwards. It's a pretty harsh thing. If you aren't prescribed it and you're not used to it, it can be pretty jarring.
Yeah. Well, Murray, thank you so much for calling in. It's been interesting hearing from somebody who's actually used these kinds of drugs, and I really appreciate your calling in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara Sahakian, interesting hearing from Murray and what he had to say. And one thing I'm interested in that I wonder if you can explain, do they take these like just one at a time when they have a test, or is this something that they then start taking all the time? I'm not clear how they take them. And he was saying that it can make you jittery and things like that.
Yes. I think it's different patterns for different people, obviously. But I think what he discussed is very typical. So it was very helpful that he was forthright about it, because in this Professor's Little Helper commentary, we had some letters in response, and one of them came from Nora Volkow, who's head of the National Institute of Drug Abuse in America. And her point was that there is quite a large amount of these prescriptions that are being passed on or sold. And that's a concern, obviously, for NIDA.
We have to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue with you, Barbara Sahakian, and Dr. Nora Volkow is going to join us in the studio as well as we continue this discussion about brain enhancement drugs. I'm Lynn Neary. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. If you've ever pulled an all-nighter on an exam or for a presentation, maybe you've made yourself a big pot of coffee to stay alert. Nowadays, you might be more likely to pop an Adderall to boost your brain power. But is that ethical? We're talking about brain enhancement drugs with Barbara Sahakian, professor of clinical neuropsychology at Cambridge University. And we want to hear from you. Have you taken those drugs to keep up academically or professionally? Tell us your story. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And joining me in Studio 3A also is Dr. Nora Volkow. I'm going to get to her in a moment, but I just wanted to give you, Professor Sahakian, a chance to finish your thought because we had to take a break, and you were in the middle of a thought as we took that break.
Yes, well, of course, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, for which these Ritalin, this methylphenidate, is prescribed, is a spectrum disorder. So on the extreme ends, people obviously have very severe symptoms. But towards the middle, it starts to blend with this normal population. So when do you decide that you're having problems focusing your attention and so forth? And so I think that some people will be taking these drugs as part of their normal medication, but other people, as you just heard, are taking them to enhance themselves. And then they'll be taking the odd pill here and there to cram for the exams and so forth, or to focus when they really need to complete a piece of work in a short period of time, whereas other people may be taking them more regularly. Certainly with modafinil, we found that some people don't seem to take them every day for cognitive enhancement. They seem to either take them for jet lag or they take them for a particularly important intellectual challenge. But I have heard of people taking it just to stay up and enhance their attention and performance socially at parties in the evening.
Hmm. Well, let me turn now to Dr. Nora Volkoff. She is the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. She wrote a response to Barbara Sahakian's commentary in the journal Nature, and Dr. Volkoff is with me in Studio 3A. So good to have you with us. Welcome to the program. Dr. Volkoff, can you tell us, how addictive are these drugs? Are they addictive?
Well, good afternoon. And stimulant medications just like actually have an effect that's similar to that of drugs of abuse, which is Barbara was commenting about it. It increases dopamine in the brain. And this is the mechanism that is believed to underline the rewarding effects of drugs of abuse that produces addiction. So, yes, indeed, both amphetamine as well as methylphenidate have the potential for producing dependency, and we know that in fact they are diverted and that there are people that become dependent to them.
Yeah, we heard from a caller already who was describing the effect a little bit. He said, you know, sometimes you get jittery from this drug. So I wonder if you can expand on what he might have been trying to describe a little bit more.
Well, indeed, when you the responses to stimulant medication varies enormously among people, and also the effects of methylphenidate are somewhat different from those of amphetamine. Overall, amphetamine is a more potent stimulant, and its effects are longer lasting. And because it's stimulating dopamine at much higher levels than your normal physiological responses, this can be perceived by individuals as making them restless and or jittery. And this can be very, very uncomfortable. Also, he mentioned that he didn't necessarily like the fact of how he felt after the drug is over, and that indeed is described by some individuals as feeling like a crash. They feel with no energy and they cannot concentrate, which is, of course, problematic, particularly if you're starting to feel like that just before you are going to go into an exam. So what we need to understand when you're using these medications is that when you use them outside the prescribed prescribed purposes, you are going to be producing adaptation changes in your brain that can be deleterious to performance. And the other thing that is important for people to know is that not everybody improves when they take a stimulant medication. There's numerous studies that have actually shown that in some individuals and for certain tasks, that performance can actually deteriorate when they take stimulant medications.
How would they deteriorate? What do you mean they deteriorate?
For example, one of the things that happens when an individual is taking a stimulant and was reported by the caller is you can concentrate much better, but that concentration can go to the extreme to make you actually perseverate on that particular task and being unable to shift from that task to another one.
Oh,
that
I
may
see.
Be
so
required.
You're focusing so intently on one thing that you're not able to go back and forth and
exactly.
You don't have that kind of breadth that you need for true knowledge, really, is kind of what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's take a call. We're going to go to Joe. He is calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Joe, go ahead.
Thank you for letting me participate. I'm a physician, and I've prescribed both stimulants as well as modafinil. And I was with a group of other physicians discussing the ethical aspects of it. And two things came to us in the conclusion. One was whether or not the drug was addictive, which for some of the studies from modafinil doesn't have the same potential as the stimulants. But the other was whether or not there was some direct competition. And in the same way, sports players take steroids to enhance and improve their team's performance. We thought it was ethically dubious for a student who otherwise doesn't have a diagnosis to be taking a stimulant to improve their test scores. Made it unfair for them to be in the same arena as students who otherwise aren't taking stimulants. However, we thought it may not be as ethically dubious for individuals who they're not directly competing, such as, say, the physician who has been a resident who has been on call late nights and it takes modafinil to be more alert the next day. We have some improvements in working hours, but their alertness improves patient care. Or the long-haul truck driver who may be taking it to be more alert
Well, but can I ask you a question, Joe? So I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that as a doctor, you're trying to differentiate which case might be one where you would, in fact, prescribe this drug to someone who doesn't have any kind of condition necessarily, physical or mental condition, where they need it, but that their job might require it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes and no. Modafinil is indicated for shift workers. And so, to me, residents and truck drivers have a kind of shift work. I wouldn't necessarily prescribe it to someone who you know, their livelihood or their safety isn't dependent on it. And I actually nobody's asked me to prescribe it to them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Since that we've had, those are the examples that proponents of using these medications always say, well, what about the student with a deficit? And I've never argued against using it for someone with a diagnosis of ADHD, because that's indication.
Right.
But the students who take it so that they can do better on the SAT, we thought it was unethical and unfair. But the physician who takes it so they're more alert, because they have to be, and they can't choose to not work the next day, or the long-haul truck driver, assuming they're not using it to go longer than the prescribed or regulated time, that was a reasonable use of the drug.
I see. Okay, well, thanks so much for adding to the discussion, Joe.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We have an email here that's interesting. Rick from Portland, Oregon. Who hasn't had coffee or cola before an exam or important meeting? How about toast with jelly? That has sugar, a stimulant drug. The main issue should be whether the substance is safe. If people can do a better job by eating a good breakfast or taking a drug, who should complain? Barbara Sahakian, let me ask you to respond to that first.
Well, of course, as Nora would say, too, these are much more potent than just your cup of coffee and so forth. But I thought Joe's point was very interesting that he raised, because it has been suggested that there may be conditions in which we want to encourage people to take cognitive enhancing drugs. For instance, air traffic controllers, if they're on duty, we may want them to be alert. And he also pointed out that thus far anyway, modafinil, because it doesn't act as a classic stimulant and doesn't have these same effects on dopamine that amphetamine and methylphenidate do, it doesn't seem to have the same abuse potential. And this is also true of other drugs such as atomoxetine. So these things are very interesting. It may be that, you know, society would like certain people to take cognitive enhancing drugs. I mean, I sometimes joke when I'm giving a public lecture, would we want our president or prime minister to be on them? Would that make a better world for us?
Dr. Volkoff was turning thumbs down at a certain point when you were talking, so I just want to hear what she was responding to.
Yeah, and I was smiling. Well, two things also. I think that the recognition that giving medication, stimulant medication for people that are on night shift is actually is practice. It's accepted as a medical practice. At the same time, there has been concern that some of the judgments that have been inadequate when people have been sleep deprived and or under the effects of amphetamine, misjudgments have been directly linked with the effects of amphetamine. So the understanding that amphetamine can increase paranoid thinking, coupled with the fact of the actions of sleep deprivation, is also detrimental. So not everybody responds positively to the effects of stimulant medications. I was smiling at modafinil because indeed it is a new medication. It seems to have different effects of stimulant, except now the new findings, the new studies done in humans are showing that just like stimulants, it increases dopamine in the human brain. At the same time, we're recognizing, based on epidemiological data, that the rate of abuse of modafinil is significantly lower than that of the classical stimulants. That's why I was smiling.
I was going to ask you, what's the difference between this and, say, dexedrine, or what used to be called speed, which I think kids used to use before they were studying for exams? What's the difference between the kinds of drugs we're talking about and those kinds of drugs?
Well, dexedrine is an amphetamine-like compound, and there are two isomers of them. And when you have Adderall, you have the dexedrine plus the amphetamine. So the most commonly utilized medication right now, abuse on colleges based on the recent surveys, is this combination of the dexedrine with the amphetamine. And that's also a very effective medication for attention deficit disorder. All of these medications are stimulants, strong stimulant medications that will enhance alertness and will improve concentration.
All right. We're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Carolyn. She's calling from San Jose, California. Carolyn, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Good program. I just am so concerned at the widespread use of drugs for everything and nothing in our culture. And, you know, Dr. Joe a little while ago was talking about prescribing these drugs for people, the resident who didn't get a good night's sleep. Frankly, I'd rather be treated by a resident who did have a good night's sleep and not by one who's on drugs. And so my question is, what's next? Are we going to be drug testing students on the way into exams? And I can take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Carolyn. Barbara Sahakian or Dr. Volkoff, I was wondering that myself. I mean, are we going to be doing drug testing of students?
Well, I'd like to respond first to the very important point that was made that, you know, ultimately our drug use is a reflection of our society. Mm-hmm. And we should really be looking at the broader context of why healthy people would choose to use a drug in the first place. I mean, there are other options for coping with everyday stresses. We could improve the work-life balance or learn relaxation techniques. And if we have sleep or psychological and behavioral problems, we can address these through other methods, including psychological treatments. And the best way to enhance cognition is through education and other means. So we have other ways of tackling these problems. So I completely agree with that, Caroline, who called in. I think that's an excellent point that she made. But yes, we may have to drug test, I suppose, if people are against people using it in competitive situations. It may be one of the few ways that we'll be able to tell whether people are on or off drugs.
Dr. Volkoff.
Yeah, there's another aspect that is important to consider, which we haven't discussed, which is in studies in attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, it has been shown that kids, when placed on stimulant medications, they perform better. But when they are tested after they are off the stimulant, they actually perform worse than they did before initiation of the stimulant. This, of course, recovers, but there's a period where the performance is actually worse than it was before. And this is likely to also be happening when people are taking stimulants outside the context of ADHD. And there's another aspect, too, that has been discussed extensively with ADHD, and which is if it improves your performance in actually, for example, enabling you to learn over a night of sleep deprivation to study and pass the exam, what will it be in terms of the outcome 2 or 3 months later? Will you be able to remember as well that information as if you had done it with proper sleep and putting the hours that it takes to learn it without sleep deprivation? And as of now, I am not familiar of any single one study that has shown a benefit in the long-term effects of that material that is learned, which is the other issue. If you're doing it just to pass the exam, well, that's one issue. But if you're doing it to really try to build up the knowledge base that will allow you to succeed, there we do not have any information vis-a-vis the effectiveness of these medications.
Okay, one last call. We just have a couple of minutes. Andrew in Nashville, Tennessee. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, hi there. I was calling just because I had an experience using Adderall in college. And something that I thought just deserved to be addressed on air was that, you know, even if your intentions as a student are to use this to benefit you personally with your studying, the potential to then end up using it recreationally, I think, is pretty high. And I don't imagine my friends and I were the only ones who have had this happen. And, you know, for anybody who's taken a stimulant to help their brain work better, I think knows how bad it feels to come off of it. And that for us led to recreational Vicodin use, which then went to heavier opiates, because the come down from even these, you know, prescribed drugs can be so strong that I think things can kind of spin out of control quickly. So beyond being an ethical issue, I think it needs to be a, you know, a psychological issue about the health of our students emotionally, and why are they using these drugs? Is the studying an excuse to use drugs? You know, and I just hope you guys could talk about that on air for a little bit.
All right, Andrew. We don't have much time left. I'm glad you raised it. I think you raised some things that we've also been talking about. And I just want to read one quickly from one email. I go to Arizona State University. I've been surrounded by overachieving students who use Adderall and other performance-enhancing drugs. It makes it difficult for me to compete. So let's end on that note. Cautionary tales, I think. Dr. Nora Volkoff, thanks so much for being with us. And Barbara Shahakian, thank you also for being with us. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.